Blog Talk Radio.
Find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Sister Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Wednesday, January 26th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our passion and hobby, backyard poultry, show poultry, and sustainable living. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's oyster shell for your pullets and layers.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-4000. 5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's now time to introduce my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, the one, the only, Pat Foreman.
Hey, Whisper. Boy, how are you doing today? We're getting sleeted here in Virginia. I mean, the road's just starting to ice up, and I'm just cozy and warm here in my little office. But I got to tell you, be careful, because today is Wednesday, and I did have my quarter cup of coffee with half and half.
Oh, yeah!
Not only that, I got a haircut, so I'm a new woman. There's something about getting a haircut. Oh, dear. I feel like I'm back socially presentable again. Have you ever noticed in haircuts where it gets to a certain length and all of a sudden you feel like Raggedy Ann or Andy? Raggedy Andy? Anyway.
If you say so, I normally keep my head shaved, so it's normally not too much of a problem for that.
Oh, that's right. You don't have too many hairs to cut, do you? When you get a haircut, you really get your money's worth, don't you?
I absolutely do. I don't just get a haircut. I get them all cut.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, gosh. So, yeah, it's a great day here. It's cloudy outside, but I'm warm and cozy inside. How are you doing down there? Are you guys getting some of this mega storm that's coming along to Atlanta?
They thought we might get a little mixture. I know northern Georgia was under an advisory this morning, but we don't have anything, just nasty old cold rain. So, and I'm glad. I don't want the icy stuff down here. You can keep it up there, so I have no problems with that at all, and it can just stay up that way.
As long as it clears out. You know,
no sharing with that. You can have it all, and hopefully it'll all clear up before we head up to Hershey in about 9 days. Hopefully it'll be gone and we'll have sunny, clear skies and really great weather for that. And the Super Bowl will be up there in Pennsylvania for the Super Bowl. So lots of big crowds and it'll be good and good times. So it'll be interesting. I hope they have a nice place set up in the at the Hershey Lodge for Sunday night so we can watch the Super Bowl.
That'll be
very interesting.
They'll be a superstar.
Yeah, we hope so.
and they'll have the big screen up there so you can see all the guys in those tight little uniforms. They're so cute. And just watch them fight over that little pigskin.
Pigskin? You know they're made out of cowhide.
No, they're made out of pigskin. They're even called that sometimes. Aren't they now made out of cowhide? Have we gone to the cows instead of the pigs?
It takes 3,000 cows to produce all the footballs used in the NFL every year.
How do you know that?
I know that.
You're smart. 3,000 cows? 3,000 cows. That's a lot of
hamburger. I heard that. We had sports trivia when I was up in St. Louis, and that was one of the questions. How many cows does it take to produce all the footballs used in a year for the NFL? And the answer was, where they got the information, I do not know, was 3,000 cows to make all the footballs. But yet it's called pigskin. So go figure.
Go figure. Well, at least it's not synthetic. Pretty soon they'll be coming along with a polyester super grip, and when they spin it, you know, they can like a turbo spin makes it harder to catch or something. What technology we have! They'll probably even put little sensors in there so they can measure the ball speed, you know, the velocity. There's that pass. It's 120 miles an hour. sensors on the inside.
I wonder if anybody's has even thought about that. That's interesting.
Yeah. Quick, we should patent the idea. There you go. Yeah, that could be quite a training tool as well. Yes, indeed. Well, you only heard it here on the Chicken Whisper Talk Show, how you can make your cow skin go faster when it's in the form of a football.
In the chat room says... He said, I could buy a $200 ticket and stand outside the stadium and watch the game on a big screen TV. I said, I think I can put that $200 to use a lot more better. A lot more better. How about that? A lot better.
A lot more
that.
Better. That means really
a lot
good.
More better. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Really, really good.
Yeah,
I'm thinking.
Well, Bard Rock says that they do put sensors in hockey pucks, and those things fly. I mean, my gosh, they can get over 100 miles an hour. I'll have to look at. See how fast that is, but yeah, why not put one in footballs? If they can do it in the hockey pucks as hard as their
we're both
slam.
Getting tongue tied today. I'm telling you what,
I tell you, yeah, this caffeine buzz is contagious. Anything's possible, so that's why I can only do it once a week. That's it. That's that. That's all my body will handle.
That's all we can handle once a week.
Hey, be gentle now. Yeah, handle with care. Here we go. Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Well, I'll tell you what. Last night I was, I posted this on Facebook. It is so funny. Last night I put a Facebook page and I said, I'm banging my head deciding if I need to go down to the International Poultry Expo or not. I mean, it's right in my back door. It always is every year. Last year I didn't go, and after the fact I was like, oh, I should have gone. And this year I've been like, yeah, I think I'm going to go. It's just right down the road. And then, of course, here it is, opening day, and, of course, I'm broadcasting live. I said, you know, I'd have to cancel the show to really make it worth my while. People were like, oh, cancel the show. It's no problem. We'll wait for you till Thursday or Friday, whenever you get back. Bring lots of prizes home and bring lots of information home and tell us about it and take pictures and the whole nine yards. So
yeah.
I came real close to today, but I wasn't prepared. I want to go down there with lots of business cards, which I do have, but I just got back from my trip, so all my CW shirts, I had to take them up to the dry cleaners. And I want to make a really nice impression, of course, meeting these new possible sponsors and connections and whatnot. So I think I'm going to be going tomorrow, wake up early and head down there and buy my ticket. We've got calls in to the folks down there and the communications director to see if we would be able to broadcast live down there on location tomorrow. We'll see. We could maybe even broadcast live secretly. If they don't want an official broadcast with the table and our banner and things like that we do and interviews, I can always kind of like have you run everything, Pat, and I will be on location, mm-hmm. call in on my BlackBerry, and then we could I could kind of tell you what's going on live and remote from there. But it would be much better if we could actually broadcast live from there. Then possibly it's a huge place. It's like the largest convention in all of Atlanta, in the history of Atlanta, every year, bringing people from all over the world, Tokyo and all over Europe and the whole nine yards. And I want to go educational purposes, of course. It's really more designed for the commercial poultry folks versus the backyarders. But still, there's a lot of mom and pops there. There's a lot of neat people that bring in their crafts and their goods. My, Eckhartons.com is there. And so we're going down there to see them. I'll meet Scott, which is great, and maybe even take him out to lunch or dinner and chat with him, of course. So tomorrow, I will let everybody know on my Facebook page and Twitter, of course, whether there will be a show tomorrow. The reason why I hate to cancel the show tomorrow is because it's the first of a series of a couple of shows with Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. We're going to be talking about bees, a two-part series tomorrow and then the following Thursday. We could maybe postpone that until maybe Friday. The only problem with Friday is I do at the show around 1 o'clock, and then you know the show runs to 1:30, because actually we're so blessed. Eckhartons.com is bringing a lot of stuff down to the show, a lot of stuff, and they don't want to ship it back or take it back, so they're giving it all to me. And so thank you very much, Eckhartons.com, for that.
Cool.
But I am not keeping any of it. What I'm going to do, and I've already notified the parties at B, is I'm going to donate. I'm going to see what all that they're bringing and all that they're donating to me, and then I'm going to, in turn, based on what it is and where I think it best needs to be put, is part of it is going to be donated to the Georgia American Bantam Association, American Poultry Association Youth Program, the APA Youth Program of Georgia. So that some of it, like I know there's an incubator that's going to be donated, it'll go there. Anything educational will go there. And then any type of fun products or anything that maybe the APA couldn't make use of is going to be donated to the Chattahoochee Valley Poultry Association. They have a big, big show coming up in February. We're going to donate the other items to them, and then they can actually auction that off and do that. So that's what we're looking at doing with all those products. So that's awesome. We thank Eckhartons.com for doing that, and looking forward to that. So keep, you know, just follow us. We'll let you know plenty of time whether there'll be a show tomorrow, whether there won't be a show. I'll let you, Pat, know, so you can let Richard know. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm planning on going down there. I think it just outweighs the benefits of maybe even tomorrow's show. Maybe we could learn so much from Richard about bees with contacts and future folks that want to come on and interview products, things like that. So I'll just let y'all know either Thursday or Friday what kind of the game plan is. And even Friday, there's a little catch, because even if I don't go tomorrow, I have to be down there Friday at 1 when the event ends to get all this great stuff from the from eggcartons.com to get and then, you know, cover and then donate to the great folks at ABA in the Chattahoochee Valley. So that's, I'll keep everybody abreast of what we're going to do tomorrow and Friday. And who knows, we got calls into the folks, and they may just let us come down and set up at a booth, and we can interview some folks, and we will have the radio show tomorrow, but it'll be live from the International Poultry Expo, largest poultry expo in the world. So I just wanted to let everybody know regarding that. And last night I was like, should I go? Should I not go? I just hate driving downtown, Pat. I just can't stand Atlanta native. I just don't like going down there, the traffic and the parking and just the crowds. It's just no thank you. So we'll just let everybody know, and I'll let you know, Pat, as well, so you can get in touch with Richard and let him know. And if we don't, and even Friday is questionable because of having to be down there at 1, which means I need to leave about really around 12 to make sure I get parking, to make sure I'm there at 1. And so who knows? If they let us broadcast live, we may see about them letting us broadcast on Thursday and Friday from down there. And then we still have a radio show, and I'm down there and can meet everybody. So we'll see how that pans out. So
yeah, well, sure. I'll be just glad to take another go at the mission control there. it'd be good to have you on the show while it happens, so you can walk me through if I get stuck up on anything. But yeah, well, just play it by ear, Whisper. You'll know what to do, and of course, Richard's not going to go away. He'll be back. He loves talking about honeybees, as do I. So we'll get that in one way or the other, for sure. Yeah, well, just have a safe trip. That's the most important thing. Any safe trip is a good trip in my book. Yeah.
Great. Looking forward to it. We have a great show. Take a left at the peach tree, Andy. Yeah, take a left on peach tree. And there's like, I forget how many peach tree streets, roads, courts, drives that there are in Atlanta and the metro area, and more than I can count. So, yeah, that's a fun trick to play on any tourist to say, just take a left at Peachtree.
Peachtree is a huge street, too, isn't it? I mean, it's a gigantic street. Peachtree
it's
Plaza,
like,
remember that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very nice hotel, restaurant at the top that goes round and round. Another kind of trick, if you want to be mean to a tourist, to say, oh, yeah, you just get on 285 and you'll run right into it. And, of course, many of you know 285 is the round expressway that goes around Atlanta in one big circle. I forget, it's like 72 miles all the way around, and it never ends. You just go down and go around and around and around and around. Oh, yeah, just get on 285, you'll run right into it. That'll take you there. Take you anywhere. 285.
Oh boy!
Very fun.
Yeah,
very fun.
So you don't
so,
have a GPS
yes.
in your car to have to say please make a legal U-turn when possible, or to let you know where you're.
No,
at.
I have this. No, actually, I have this really great device that not only tells me where to go, but tells me how to drive, and it's called the GEN, the GEN, and it's right next
to me,
and it often. Yes, it often tells me where to go, how to get there, and how to drive, all in one sentence.
And to watch out to boot, right?
Yes, absolutely. Bless her heart. No, but, yeah, she often is my navigator. But I do have a GPS, and it's a handheld GPS pad. It's called a MAP, M-A-P. And I pull it out of the glove box, and I open it up, and voila, there I am, there it is, and there I go. So, no, we don't have any high-tech GPS. No, we sure don't.
I don't either. I would love to have one, but I just don't travel the way I used to really justify one. Yeah, most of my trips are from my bedroom upstairs down to my office, so I think I can figure the way out how to do that.
Oh, my goodness.
And I always arrive
there. We had one in a rental car once when we were up in New York, not downtown, you know, Broadway, New York, but out in upstate New York, and beautiful up there, I'm telling you. And got lost. Didn't help at all. Didn't help. Your address is 500 feet ahead, and we were like literally about 4 miles away from the address. It was horrible, and we still had to call for directions. It did not get us anywhere. Jen will attest to that. She's like, this thing is about worthless as a dime. So, that really kind of sold us off on that. So, Love for Poultry was asking to actually listen to Jen, and it depends on if I know she's right or not. But all us guys out there, we know that we do listen. We have to listen. So, anyway, so upstate New York rocks. All right, from Brenda Helm in the chat room. Thanks very much for joining us in the chat room. One of you in the chat room, or one of you listening live today, is going to win an awesome nesting box from Ware Manufacturing. Chicken trivia later today in the show, probably in about an hour, about 20 after 1. We'll go to chicken trivia contest. And again, one of you is going to win an awesome nesting box from Ware Manufacturing. We've got that to give away today. And then, of course, today we got a really great show. Pat will tell you about that in just a second. Tomorrow is up for grabs, not sure. If nothing pans out about the poultry show, we're going to welcome Richard Frudenberger. First, we'll have a two-part segment on bees. And then Friday, of course, will be another fun Friday. But again, just bear with us. The next two shows are up in the air right now based on if we get permission to broadcast live from a booth down there at the poultry show. So we'll just have to see how that pans out. For everybody, but we'll let you know. Pat, tell us about today's show. I'm very excited about it. I do have pen and paper ready, and I think hopefully this show will clear up a lot of myths, rumors, and stereotypes about homesteading and about how people, you know, oh, I'd really like to homestead. I get this magazine, I get that magazine, but I'm so scared and I'm a little intimidated about it, and I couldn't can anything to save my life, and let alone, you know, grow food to support my family, and it's just so scary, and it just seems like so much hard work, and I just don't know if I have the time. So tell us about today's show, Pat.
Yeah, well, there are one of the things we found when Andy and I were doing classes about homesteading and free range poultry is there are so many wannabes that people think a lot about it. It's their dream of like Green Acres, have a few acres and just be able to get away from it all and be independent and self sufficient. So, Karen Panabaker will be our guest today, and her husband James, they're two very remarkable people. Karen used to be a personal trainer and has just decided that they've got about 4 acres that they work in Rockbridge County. And her husband, James, is a legal author, analyst, I guess you'd say. He's also an amazing pianist. He plays locally a lot and can just does. He has one of the most remarkable minds I think I've ever met. So they decided that they were just going to be as independent as they could be and start homesteading. They decided to do this 2 years ago. So Karen's going to come on and tell us about some of the challenges they've had, where she's had to sort of pull up herself up by the bootstraps and get her courage in line and just do it. And it's after the fact. She's going to help assure us that it's just step by step and it's not that hard. So it ought to be pretty inspiring for the wannabes and even those that are just doing a little bit of homesteading now anyway. So that's what we've got coming up. Were you going to do any chickens in the news first, Whisper?
I looked at that, and I'm over at my Facebook page now, and it's been a little bit slow over the last 24 hours with chickens in the news. I was scrolling down to see if I had saw any regarding that. There may be an update here on y'all remember the 92-year-old man in Milford that had chickens for years, and he had a beautiful chicken coop, and we had him on the radio show. He was telling a story. I see a video here on that, but I don't see actually an article that I can share with everybody. And let me scroll down a little bit longer, a little bit further, and see if I have any other chickens in the news. Do you have any, Pat, you'd like to share with all of our listeners today?
Yeah, I have one that I just love. It's very inspiring. I think today is an inspiration day since I got my hair cut and I'm feeling back. I'm a new woman here. Have a little bit of coffee. But this one comes from the Bahama Islands, from the Bahamas, sunny Bahamas down there. And what they want to do is to increase local poultry production. And this is it's written by one of the Bahamas agricultural services there, and it was in the Bahama Islands Info newspaper. So this says... The chairman of the Agricultural and Industrial Corporation, Edison Key, wants to increase the production of local products. And they're working with the assistance of the College of the Bahamas. There's a poultry scientist there, Ronald Taylor. And what they're finding is, and what they believe is there's a huge market for poultry products in the Bahamas. He toured the park and he says chickens is a mainstay of their national diet. And of course, as everyone knows, the Bahamas, they're islands just off the tip of Florida, so they're pretty flat. But they have a lot of coral in their soil. But it's a beautiful, beautiful place. He says although chickens are relatively easy to raise, the vast majority of our poultry products, to the tune of many millions of dollars, and of course they're an independent country, so this is foreign exchange that they're using. Says by just about all of them currently are imported, which means foreign exchange goes out. Says we import 100% of the chicken wings and leg quarters from the United States, and these are then sourced from places like Brazil at a reduced cost and somewhat dumped, he does use the word dumped here, into the Bahamian market. So the market for fresh Bahama-raised product is, which they think is superior to imported products, and he thinks it's a wide-open market down there in the Bahamas. They believe they've got what it takes. They certainly have the land. They've got plenty of fresh water, and they do have some wonderful fresh water, fresh wells down there. And he says consumers in today's societies are looking for fresh, locally produced birds, and a bird straight from the Bahamian environment can naturally sell itself without any doubt at all. He pointed out that the imports that are coming in, that there's no certainty about shelf life of both imported eggs and meats. He goes, they don't really know their country of origin or where they come from. They don't know how long the meat or the eggs have been traveling, and they don't really know what their storage life is. So so that he feels that can reduce both the meat and the egg quality. So locally produced products limit these factors in terms of ease of availability, and they envision, which is what we could do in so many of our local counties and even cities here in the U.S., is to envision small to medium-sized operations, especially for egg production. And they plan to do it throughout all the islands, not just on the main island. They've got quite a few people who are interested in doing it, and they're working with them through the college there. And they just feel they can produce a fresher product and create jobs, that all-important J-O-B, jobs item. They do have one fellow that's already doing it. It's Ricardo Johnson of Love Hill, and they have a family size operation of just under 200 chickens for egg production, and he says he's always sold out every time. And they plan to use that possibly as a demonstration so others can see that it is possible to do. You too can do both meat and chickens. And that's an example that I think is going to be happening more and more in the countries as our economic situation internationally is getting more challenging. I mean, we know we've got banks in just about every country, and the debts from different countries are squeezing even country budgets. So I think there's going to be more of a local grown, especially chickens and eggs, over imports for self-sufficiency. So I thought that was a pretty interesting article, and certainly one I hope we're going to see more of from other countries and other localities, even across the U.S. So that's all I've got there, Whisper.
Great. Well, thank you for that. We always appreciate your participation in Chickens in the News. You've got some great stories that I don't sometimes see, which is a real benefit, and we appreciate that. Remind folks that Chickens in the News is brought to you by Meyer Hatchery. Visit them online at meyerhatchery.com. And wait, what do I hear?
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
All righty, speaking of Bidbird, Jesse is joining us from Bidbird to feature an auction on his site today. Jesse, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Hey, Andy, hey, Pat. Listen, before I get going, you know, I always like to pick on you about something, but, you know, I don't know if your show has been rated yet, but as of today, it's kind of sounding a little risky, and maybe, I don't know, somebody's got to rate the show. Pat's feeling all frisky with that new haircut and watching the young football players in the tight. And
oh,
tomorrow,
yeah.
I think,
with
I came in a little late. Yeah, I came a little late, Andy. I thought, I could have sworn, he said, if you're having a show tomorrow, you're going to talk about the birds and the bees. I don't know. What's going on over there, Andy?
Well, now we're talking about lice.
Yes, we do have a tremendous amount of homeschoolers across this great land that listen to the show on a daily basis, and we appreciate them very, very much so. And so tomorrow we thought we would take part in their curriculum and talk a little bit about the birds and the bees tomorrow on the radio show if we're not down at the International Poultry Expo. So you just never know. You may have heard that correctly there, Jesse.
Well, I just think we shouldn't have Pat doing it because, you know, she is feeling frisky and, you know, looking at the football players in their tight tights, she said. I think maybe we should probably leave the bees and the birds to somebody else. What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, probably. Sounds like a good idea to me.
Now, gentlemen, why do you think women watch football? Haven't you picked up on that yet?
Oh, my goodness. That is funny.
Oh, dear.
Hey, you know, I wanted to feature a couple auctions, Andy, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on here. You know, today at bidbird.com, there's only less than 3 hours left on this auction, but it's for two Millie Fleur Old English Game Bantam hens. If Walter Radz is in the chat room, he's probably going to be a little perturbed because he's already bid on these, but it's a nice, beautiful pair of Millie Fleur. Now, I got that tongue-tied bug that you guys had earlier. Millie Fleur Old English Game Bantams. Also today we have Lemon Blue Splash Moderns, some big long leggy birds, and Charlie Pate from Georgia actually has them up, and right now you can get them for $15.
Wow.
And finally we have a two Wheaton Marin's pullets from Hodges Farms. Beautiful looking birds. The Marin's lay those really dark chocolate eggs. She has two of them that can be 4 to 6 weeks old when they ship in mid-February. So for these and many, many other items in a whole bunch of different categories, please log on to Bidbird at www.bidbird.com. I'm laughing because I'm Pat.
It's contagious.
Pat, you're typing into the chat room while I'm trying to talk about men and tights. So anyway, Andy, before the show gets any worse, I'm gonna appreciate, you know, tell you that I appreciate you having me on and look forward to talking to you next week.
All righty, I appreciate it too. Yeah, we'll let you go before you say something you really might regret.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness gracious! The guest today, Pat, do they live around you in that area?
Yes, it's area code 540.
No, very good. Not a problem. That sounds great. Well, folks, it's about half past the hour. Let's go ahead and get started. I know you tune in every day to try to learn something and not just listen to me and Pat and Jesse yap about the birds and the bees and men in tights as they're discussing in the chat room, folks. But so we'll go ahead and take a commercial break. We come back. We'll start learning something about homesteading today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperers. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this short break.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at EggCartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. A couple of quick announcements here very quickly. This just came across the wire. Ideal Poultry out in Cameron, Texas has an overhatch surplus today. So they've got assorted ducks for $1.75 each. List price on those are $3.40 each. It's from Ideal Poultry, idealpoultry.com. Assortment of ducks, $1.75 each. They've got bantams, an assortment of our bantam breeds, $1.50 each. And then the surprise special, an assortment of any of our breeds of standard size poultry. Available in pullets are straight run. And that's $1.10 for straight run, $1.50 for pullets. And so you can go and give them a call over there at idealpoultry.com if you're ready to get some babies around your neck of the woods. Also, I want to update everybody on the poll we shared with you yesterday, reading some of the comments regarding Jersey City. Some stated that chickens and bees are already allowed in Jersey City. They're just voting to increase the number of chickens and bees you can have. But I wanted to share with you guys the poll. Y'all done a very good job. I thank you very much for voting. It takes less than 4 seconds to actually vote. No registration. You just click, 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 and you're voted. And right now it's thank you for your vote on this. Let me see what we got here. Should chickens be allowed in Jersey City? Yes. We're at basically 70% and no's 30%. So it was pretty close there running until we talked about this on the radio show yesterday. So now we're 70-30 in favor of chickens. And I want to say thank you very much for all your help in doing that. And I'm sure the folks in Jersey City appreciate that as well. So we're going to go to the phone lines right now. And we're going to start talking all about homesteading, the myths, the misunderstandings. You know, are you scared to homestead? Why? Come on, let's learn about this. And, Pat, we'll let you get started with our guest, who is now live on the air.
Okay. Our guest today is Karen Panabaker, a real, live, genuine, dirt-under-the-fingernails homesteader. And she also, I want to put a plug here for her blog, has a very interesting blog on called Holes in My Jeans, and I'll post that on the website. It's holesinmyjeans-kpanabaker.blogspot.com. Karen, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Pat. Hi, Andy.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Sure. Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you.
That there are all these homesteader wannabes, and I'm going to teach them something, but I still consider myself a homesteader wannabe.
Well, I think we never get over it. I mean, I've done various aspects of homesteading, and it's a never-ending, never-always learning process. And, of course, the plants and the animals and the seasons and nature, they're all your teachers, so you never really learn at all. But, one of the things, Karen, that is so impressive about you and James is that you are doing it all, though. I mean, you're doing, and you've only been at it 2 years, and you've got dairy goats, so you're doing cheese and, of course, ice cream and yogurt, and James has this beautiful garden. I mean, it's truly a production garden, and you must not even go to the store hardly at all.
I keep wondering when I'm going to get to that point. When is it you don't have to go to the store anymore? I have to go to Tractor Supply all the time.
Well, yeah. Of course, you got to get that feed and hay and stuff. But and you don't have a large amount of land that you really use. It's how big is it again, Karen?
Well, we have 26 acres, but we only use about 4 acres for the gardens and the animals. So it really doesn't take that much space. And I think the more we fence in, the more we'll fill.
Yeah.
You know, if you build it, you will fill it.
That's right. It's amazing how as space expands, even in the house, stuff tends to just go in on it. So that's true. You never have enough paddocks or enough barns or
enough fencing.
Fencing. Oh my goodness, fencing. Yeah. Well, what makes
James thinks we'll never have enough gardens?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, and he spends hours and hours out there in his garden.
Oh
that's probably part
he
of his meditation
12 hours
time.
A day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even he's amazing. He's absolutely incredible. What made you and James decide to go this route of raising so much of your own food?
We didn't really decide it. It was decided for us, I think. We had wanted to buy this piece of property only because it was on the river and we wanted the land. We hadn't really thought about what we were going to do with it. But it was the first piece of property we ever owned that had sunshine and flat land. And so we decided it would be a great place for gardens. And James loves to get his hands dirty. So we just started with the garden. That was where it all began. But we hadn't really had a plan. It just kind of happened. And the more he grew, the more he wanted to grow. And and I'm more the animal person. So we started with chickens because, I don't know, that's where you start, isn't it?
Well, we think so. Yeah,
and we knew you.
So easy.
And we knew you, and you encouraged us. So we got a dozen chickens and didn't really know what we were going to do with them. And I built a chicken tractor out of some old screens and lumber in our garage. And that's where it all started, just with some gardens and chickens. And as most of you know, that chickens are a slippery slope when it comes to other animals. Get a few chickens. Well, we could do the chickens okay. Maybe we should get some turkeys. And, that's kind of how it all started.
Yeah, and last year was your first time to do turkeys.
Yes. We read.
And
we
guineas.
Read Barbara.
You had some guineas too, didn't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thanks to you.
I had to get rid of them somewhere.
Thanks. We appreciate that.
They were so noisy. Anyway.
Well, if that's one you want to get rid of again this year, maybe we'll take some off your hands. We had no ticks, no fleas this year, so maybe it was thanks to the guineas.
Well, and the chickens, and the ducks. I mean, ducks are pretty good. And then did you get the ducks
and
two
the
years ago, too? And the turkeys,
Yeah, I guess we got the ducks almost 2 years ago also.
Yeah. And they're especially good in the garden area. They have access to your production garden there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
I'd like to tell our listeners too. One of the cutest things I think I've seen in a long time is the Pannebakers have a canoe, an old canoe, and what they do is they fill it full of water for the ducks. So you go and you see it's a pretty large canoe. So you see these ducks are swimming inside the canoe.
And we have a creek just down below their pen, but for some reason they haven't found the creek. I don't know why.
Really?
They seem to like that canoe. Yeah, I don't know why.
Uh-huh. Well, interesting.
Anyway, the chickens led us to turkeys. And after reading Barbara Kingsolver's Animal Vegetable Miracle, James, who's not the animal person, says, we should get turkeys. You don't have to twist my arm about getting more animals. So, the minimum order was 20 turkeys. So we ordered 20 turkeys. And now they fill our freezers, and they were a wonderful lesson. But again, not a lot of planning, not a lot of planning. So people who think it takes a lot of courage to get these animals and grow food, and if you don't think about it too much, you won't be afraid. You just do it. You just jump in.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course they do teach you along the way. I found that if you take any time at all to really listen to your animals, they will let you know what their needs are, pretty clearly. Yeah, but you gotta sort of think from their perspective. Of course, as Temple Grandin says, you think like a chicken or think like a cow, and they usually think in pictures, which is I think pretty interesting. Yeah. So are you going to do turkeys
like
again this year?
I don't think so. I don't think so. It was a great experience, a great learning experience, but they were a lot harder than the chickens. We built them a barn, their own barn, and they could never figure out how to get back around the fence to their barn, so every night we would have to pick them up and throw them over the fence till they found their barn. You kept telling me that they would figure it out. They really didn't.
And how did they get out of the fenced area?
They weren't out of the fence. They went around it. They walked around it. But then they couldn't figure out how to walk back all that way back to their barn at nighttime. So we'd either lead them, call them, and they'd follow us, or we'd pick them up and throw them over the fence instead of leading them and walking them around. I don't know. So anyway, they were a lot of work. Once they got big, they were heavy to throw over the fence. And chickens are just so much easier. So and they're easier to process, chickens are. And we did
so much.
You know, we did want the meat. And so I think we'll just do more chickens this year and no turkeys unless someone wants to share an order with me. Maybe I'll do it. We'll see.
Well, that's a possibility. I mean, I know if you just – yes, that is a possibility. And more people, because of the minimum order of 25, it's like, gosh, I'm a homesteader. What do I do with 25 turkeys? But
right.
That's the minimum amount to be able to have them ship, so they kind of buffer each other and arrive safely. And then they do grow pretty fast, but I'm sure you'd have no trouble selling them at all. But, you know. Well, anyway, so tell us about you've had quite an ordeal with predators this year. And I know that's one of the fear areas of a lot of homesteaders and just backyard poultry keepers.
And I'm still trying to figure that out, figure out how I'm going to beat this. And I don't know that I can. I bought a donkey last year, hoping it would keep predators from my goats. And I don't really know if that's what's kept them from them, or the light guard solars that I got that you suggested I get. They seem to be helping, but we are still having hawk problems with our chickens.
Okay, but you don't have any more canine problems or coyote problems?
Well,
problems with the donkey?
Not in the fence, not within the fence where the donkeys are, but our chickens, you know, run all over the rest of our yard. We don't keep them in a pen during the day. They fly wherever they want to. So, something got one of our chickens last week. And I think it was a fox or something like that. So, I don't know what to do about that.
And they probably got it during the day if it was a fox.
It was during the day because they get the chickens, you know, put themselves to bed every night. So, I'm thinking a fox. A hawk doesn't eat their heads, right? A head off a chicken?
They can. They'll sort of tear their little throats out and kind of shred them.
Okay, so that's been a problem of ours. Yeah, we're still struggling with mostly hawks, I would say. That's our biggest, because they come right, you know, during the day and steal them right out of our yard. Maybe I should get some of those chicken aprons you advertise on the radio.
Oh, with the little eyeballs on the back.
Yeah, maybe
them.
That could that help? Do you think?
Well, I have one of those, and I'm honest to God, with the hawks, I haven't
really hit them hard.
Problem much, because I think the crows are keeping them away, and the roosters also will go up and sort of bully the hawk, or they'll make enough noise that the hawk takes off. But they are around. There's a nest or a group of them. They live in less than a quarter of a mile from my place, and I see them as soon as they go swooping over. The roosters put the alarm up, and then everyone ducks. So
you just have one rooster, right? Yeah, I have one rooster, and he herds them into the barn, into the goat's barn. I'll find them all in one stall hiding, but he hasn't been able to protect them all the time. They do spread out some during the day.
Maybe you need some more roosters. Three tend to cooperate. Two are competition, is what I'm finding. But,
oh, really?
They do. They all three of them. I've got three right now, and they all do keep a lookout. I mean, you'll see them. They're just. I've got one rooster called Upright Roo. He is literally like a periscope, up looking at the sky. I mean, he's always on guard, it seems. The other two are a little slow, but.
Well, I am pleased with my rooster. He seems to do a good job when he can't. I mean, I've seen him herd them, you know, herd them into the barn, and it's really kind of cute.
Yeah. Cool. Well, tell us about your goats. because goats are certainly one of the really interesting homestead.
They are my
animals.
Love. That is what I love best about my part of the farming. I had a goat when I was a young person and had to get rid of it, and had said one day I will have goats again. And when we bought this place, I had the room for it, so I kept asking James, "Can I get some goats?" He put me off as much as he could, and so I went and bought two goats, and before I even had my barn built, so they stayed in a little. They were little goats, so they stayed in a dog house, and I had two goats led to four to a dozen. So now I have a dozen dairy goats. Nine of those are pregnant. And I learned to milk just like I learned everything else, you know, how to build a barn and stuff like that. I was forced to do it. And it was frustrating and a little stressful. And I thought, what in the world am I thinking? You know, I went on the internet, onto goat forums and read other people's advice, and I learned to do it. And now we get, when everyone's in milk, we get several gallons a day. And I just love that time in the morning and the evening of milking the goats and just spending time with them.
Yeah, so you do it twice a day, of course. That's
morning and night.
Usually
mm-hmm.
is for morning and night, yeah.
Right,
and
once
then
the babies
with
are old enough.
Mm-hmm. And you've got nine that you're milking right now.
Well, not now. Now they're due in the next month, so I will. They're all taking a break right now from milking, except for one.
Okay.
I have one in milk, but once they've all had their babies and the babies are eating during the day, so I'll milk them once just in the morning. The babies get separated at night, and then once they're weaned, well, the mothers cut them off somewhat. I'm able to get more milk from them, but I have plenty of milk for cheese making, soap making, and ice cream and yogurt. To share. You've had my milk. It's delicious.
Yeah, and your ice cream.
mm-hmm. We had,
and your cheese.
I took some cheese to someone the other day, and they said, to the Poultry and Garden Club meeting. And someone said, this is from sheep, right? And I said, no, it's goats. They said, well, it doesn't taste like goats. I said, no, it just tastes like cheese. Everyone thinks that goat milk should taste goaty and goat cheese should taste goaty, but it really doesn't. It's delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And one of the things that when we had goats is you had to be careful what they ate. If they get into that onion sort of chives thing, they'll smell like the onions, and that comes right through in their milk.
Yeah, I haven't had that happen yet. I don't know why. Maybe I just don't have that much onion grass or something in my yard. It's hard to believe.
Well, our goats were, their primary purpose was walking hedge clippers. Their job was down in the
mm-hmm.
wood plot to keep the undergrowth down.
Yeah, and honeysuckle. We have a lot of honeysuckle on the fence.
Oh,
they're always very
rows.
Sad when it's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're wonderful, wonderful doing that. In fact, they're goat tractors. We thought at one time writing a book about goat tractors, using goats to clear brush and keep woodlots and forests neater. But
yeah, I keep reading more and more about people renting out their goats to people who need their brush cleaned up. I believe they're doing that with mine.
Yeah. So now what are you going to do with all the babies?
I will sell them, most likely. We can't keep anymore. We just don't have enough pasture for them. So it's going to be really hard this year parting with all those babies. Last year, well, just this year, we butchered our first two goats, which I never thought I would be able to do. But we had castrated two of them, and we had agreed when they were born that they would be for the freezer, and it was really, really hard. James waited till I went away. I told him to wait till I went away, went out of state for a weekend,
mm-hmm.
and while I was gone, he took them to the butcher. We didn't do it ourselves. We couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were born here. I came home. I cried for a week, off and on.
Aww.
But I felt like it was the right thing to do because we had agreed, that was one thing we had agreed when we decided to start doing this, is if we were going to continue to eat meat, then we felt like we should be responsible and know how it was raised. And we knew these goats were spoiled rotten up until the final day. So we
mm-hmm.
did it, and it was really hard, but the meat is absolutely delicious. And I think it was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe
yeah.
this year we will also do the same thing. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we had goats, I could send them up to the auction house much easier than I could send them to the slaughterhouse. So that was
really?
Usually my choice. But yeah, and
I don't know that I could do that. I feel kind of bad sending them to the auction house. I'd almost feel like it's worth thinking that they're just gonna.
Who knows where they're going to end up.
The auction for a while too, and they're going to have to stand there and be around all that. I don't know. Never
yeah.
been to one.
Well,
so
a good
really
friend of mine has a lot of goats, and they would sort of bundle them in together. But what do you do with all the boys? I mean, that's part of homesteading. Is what do you do with all the boys, whether it's roosters or
yeah,
cows
that is the hardest
or goats
thing.
Or pigs? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'd like to see them go for pets, but how many people want castrated? I mean, weathers. You know, how many people want
yeah.
a male? Oh, and you only need one or two billies on your farm, so. I learned to do that. I learned to castrate my goats.
Oh, you did it yourself?
Yeah,
oh,
I did.
Goodness.
I've done that, and there I disbud all my. I removed their horn buds when they're born too, which is another very stressful thing. But once you do it, I feel pretty confident. Another thing
I
learned.
I had a question in the chat room earlier about what you do when you go on vacation with all your animals.
A good question. I just found someone who farms it for us. She's wonderful. She lives here, and she's wonderful. She sends me emails while I'm gone, just like people do when they babysit your kids or your dogs. She sends emails and says, everyone's fine. You know, my parrot's talking. She just fills me on everything, and she loves to milk them. She has only had to milk one, so we'll see what happens when I have 9 goats to milk. I'm not sure. She'll be super real doing 9, but because it is a lot of work. I mean, it's hard on your hands. You get really big forearms, but I think she enjoys it. I think she enjoys doing it.
Yeah, I have to tell her when Karen does have very, very well muscled forearms from milking her goats.
Yeah,
if
I wanted to
be a
that.
Personal
it,
trainer. You probably muscle up pretty fast.
Your hands get so sore. I mean, I thought, gosh, I'm 47 years old and I'm getting arthritis in my hands. Oh, that was when you recommended bee sting therapy, bee therapy, remember? When I was complaining my hands were sore.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they'll
I
talk about
that
tomorrow.
Well, for arthritis, it's really, really quite helpful in arthritis. Yeah. Listen, Karen, we're going to take a short commercial break to honor our sponsors here, and then when we come back, we'll continue talking about the courage to homestead. We're talking with Karen Panabaker. She's a genuine dirt under the fingernails and holes in my jeans homesteader. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, technology you can trust.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
This looks like a job for Super Chicken. You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We've got about 13 minutes left to be talking all about homesteading. Great show so far, learning lots. And then at 20 past the hour, we're going to have a chicken trivia contest. One lucky listener is going to win a nesting box from Ware Manufacturing. Also want to remind everybody that we are currently having a chicken coop contest. Many of our longtime listeners, you know, we've given away more chicken coops than anybody on the planet. We've given away more chicken-related prizes than anybody on the planet, thanks to our sponsors. And we're right smack dab in the middle of a contest, if you will, for a brand-new chicken coop from MyPetChicken.com, a brand-new Genesis incubator from GQF. You can see them at GQFRadio.com. And then, of course, a great book called City Chicks from our co-host, Pat Foreman. And one lucky school somewhere in America is going to win this great prize package. But you first have to nominate them. This is the way this works. We're going to take nominations all the way through the end of February, and then the prize will be given away, I think, on Friday, March 18th. We will give away this awesome prize package. You can nominate a local public or private school. All you have to do is send the school's contact information, your contact information, and a little paragraph of why you think they, the school, is deserving of this prize package. There's a catch. The school already has to be showing an interest in a sustainable education atmosphere. For example, do they have a recycling program? Do they have raised beds? Do they already hatch out chicks but don't have a coop for them? Have a healthy lunch program. Anything like that you can mention in your nomination is a better chance that they'll get picked as a finalist, and then we'll have a group of panelists, which we'll choose from maybe five finalists. So that's what we're looking for, your participation, nominating a local public or private school to win this awesome chicken coop, incubator, and book. It's a whole prize package. One school across America is going to win this. And so we can reach out, and we may do this even more in the future, so we can educate kids about not just the benefits of backyard chickens, but where their food comes from, getting closer to the food, collecting the eggs, responsibility, the whole nine yards. And so we're really proud to be able to have this contest. And so just the way you do that is you're going to send an email with all that information to contest@chickenwhisperer.net, okay? contest@chickenwhisperer.net. We're going to take your nominations until the very last day of February, February the 28th, and then we'll take a couple of weeks to narrow it down to finalists, and then we'll have a panel that will choose the winner, and we'll announce that winner on the 18th and call that school live. Yes, the school has to have to want this. We will call and check, and they have to be allowed to have chickens on the premises. And you need to think about summers. When school lets out over summer, who's going to take care of the chickens personnel that takes care of the school, the janitors? Are they going to be able to do that over the summer, the full-time personnel there? So think about that as well. And so we want to make sure that they welcome this prize that you're nominating for. So you can do that. Just send all that information, your information, school contact information, and why you think they deserve this prize to contest@chickenwhisperer.net. And we'll keep you posted on that. All righty, Pat, let's continue talking about homesteading. I did about a 45-minute to an hour presentation on homesteading this past Monday, actually, at the ManaPro National Sales Meeting, talking about, you know, what is homesteading, what is an urban farm, who are the people that are doing this, where are they from, where do they live, how to get in contact with them, magazines, websites, shows, things like that, very informative, and it can be something as simple as on a quarter acre lot to maybe several hundred acres, depending on what you have and how you manage it and what you do with it. So from bees to chickens to goats and whatnot, canning, we don't think we've touched on that yet on today's show, but let's go ahead and continue this awesome interview.
Okay, Karen, you still with us here?
I'm here.
Okay, we're talking with Karen Panabaker. She is a genuine homesteader and blogs about it on her blog Holes in My Jeans-KarenPanabaker.blogspot.com. So, Karen, thank you so much for joining us again. One of the things you had on your list here is that the people that you have met through homesteading, I mean, have you found that all of a sudden people start coming into your life and you meet people that you hadn't expected, or how does that figure in?
I've met so many people. Matter of fact, that's one of the things I blogged about just yesterday was the people I've met. A lot of it has been through the internet, answering Craigslist ads or something, like someone, you know, who's selling a goat, and I end up going to pick up the goat, and I stay, or they come to my house and we stay, and I've yet to meet a homesteader that I didn't like, and we end up having so much in common, and then we continue to email, even though we live nowhere near each other, and I think that's probably the most important thing in doing this, is having other friends that share the love, or have of the animals and the gardening, and have the experience so they can help you. I mean, when you have a question, it's nice to have someone else to go to, at least discuss it, even if neither of you know the answer, one of you will figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's been wonderful.
Yeah, well, and certainly, like you say, the homesteaders, and certainly a lot in the organic movement or the small scale farming, it just opens doors. Well, and poultry. I mean, just look at the Shenandoah Valley Poultry and Garden Club, how it's bringing people together all across the Shenandoah Valley. One even drives down 2.5 hours from Manassas to share information and just to meet other like minded people. So, I know
certainly. I have a good friend.
Go ahead.
I have a good friend who has sheep here, and she started having sheep when I had goats, and so we help each other trim each other's animals' hooves, and it's so nice to have someone else to hold your animal, and you know, who gets it, who gets what you're struggling with, or what you're going through. You'll know what I do without it.
Yeah, well, I know when I very first had goats, the hoof trim just was so daunting to me, and I just didn't know how to do it, and I didn't know how to hold them, I didn't know how to make them behave, and they pretty well ruled, but our dear veterinarian friend came and showed me how to do it, and that made all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
Well, now, the other thing on your list here, Karen, is things that you like and don't like about homesteading. What are some of the things that you really like, and then maybe a few things that you find that you don't like about it?
I thought some more about that, what I didn't like. I have a real hard time with the things I don't like. It's really not, of course, butchering animals. I can't say I like doing that. I don't. Even you know, the chickens and turkeys, well, they weren't quite the same to me as the goats. So I still shed some tears over the turkeys. So that's probably the thing I don't like the most. James is our gardener. He's the one that loves to dig and plant and all. I really don't enjoy that so much. Yeah, I don't like to weed, and I like to watch him work in the garden. So that's one of the things I don't really like, is I'm not a huge fan of the gardening part. I will help with the canning and freezing, but he does most of that too. I like to cook. I like to cook everything he grows. But what I love the most is the animals. I mean, spending time with them and milking.
Yeah. Great. There's a question in the chat. Yeah, Karen, there's a question in the chat room. Are there any tax benefits for homesteading that you and James have come across?
We haven't yet. I went to the extension agent once and to apply. There were so many things we had to do, and I'm afraid we hadn't. It was a lot of paperwork, and we weren't making any money either. So you had to earn. So much money, I think it was, to maybe you know, Pat, to be able to get some of these tax credits. And we don't make a living doing this. This is just something we do for fun. That's another thing I've yet to learn, is how you can make some money doing this. I mean, mostly we do it because we enjoy it. We give most everything away. I mean, that's kind of what makes us happy, is sharing it with other people. And I haven't even gone to the farmer's market and tried to sell anything. One thing I thought is, you know, when we went to New Zealand several years ago, a couple different times, and we stayed in some agriturismos. You know, you stay on someone's farm, and they let you help, and you get to stay there. I thought, you know, here people drive up our driveway all the time. If you have animals, you're going to have company. Someone's always driving up our driveway wanting to see the animals. But I thought, gosh, we could, you know, teach or, you know, have our own agriturismo right here and Rockbridge County. You know, people want to, it doesn't have to be a place where people stay, but they want to learn. They want to learn about cheese making or milking goats or raising chickens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something to consider. A dream.
Yeah, well, of course, one of the, just first off, there some states do give a tax credit. It's called a homestead tax credit, but it kind of goes state by state. I've never heard, and I don't know of any federal tax credits that are allowed. So just to finish that off, but one of the advantages, of course, about homesteading is the stuff you don't have to buy. You know, because your food's out there in the garden, you can get the eggs right from the hens. Or meat. Of course, you probably do have to buy some bagged feed. Although I would also guess that with all the big garden that James does, that quite a bit of that was eaten by either the goats or the chickens. So
we supplemented your feed quite a bit. We do. We need to plan better. They love corn stalks, the donkeys and the goats love things like that. And the pea plants, when we're done with them, but we need to think ahead because they like them green. And so we tend to pick things and then let the stalks and the plants sit there until they're not, until they're brown and not as desirable to the animals anymore. But yeah, you're right. There's, and the squash and pumpkins, how many can you eat? So we do share them. We share an awful lot of that with the animals. Even the chickens love that.
Yeah, some people store squash and pumpkins specifically to feed back to the flock through the winter because they'll keep for months. And
yeah, I've been told that that pumpkin seeds are a great warmer too. So I don't know if it's true or not, but I still give them pumpkin seeds, hoping that it, you know, it's a good dewormer. I don't know.
Okay. There's another question in the chat room about greenhouses, and I know you folks have a greenhouse. The question is, do you enclose your garden area with a greenhouse, and could you plant crops in it year-round?
Well, we just now got a greenhouse. We had a small greenhouse, but now we have a larger one that we just purchased at the end of the summer, so we're just now getting started, and it's snowing outside, and we have 10 lettuces growing in the 10 different kinds of lettuce growing in the greenhouse, but they're not even an inch tall yet. So if we could have started earlier, maybe we would have had at least salad makings. You know, James has broccoli and cauliflower and cabbage planted in there, but I think broccoli is the only thing that's up. But lettuce is at least something that could grow in the pretty cold. If we would have started early, maybe we would have had some lettuce to eat by now. But there are 10 different varieties up, and that's kind of exciting. So maybe next year we could at least extend our seasons, you know, start earlier in the spring and go a little farther later in the fall.
Well, one of the things I know I would love to have is just a little greenhouse about the size of your small one there, and then have the chickens help to heat it, maybe keeping the chickens underneath and the under the benches and then having the crops on top or perches under some way to combine the chicken benefits of heat and carbon dioxide that offset the plant benefits. Go ahead, Karen.
We built a large compost at the end of the greenhouse inside. It's about 10 feet long and 3 feet wide and 8 feet tall, and we throw all the manure in there and all our compost. And it has really, it's begun to heat the greenhouse, and it really is providing some heat.
Excellent. Well, it also serves as a solar sink and, of course, the solar gain you get from greenhouses. So that's another whole topic into itself. So, listen, Karen, we're just about done. It's time to go to our trivia question. And we so thank you coming along and chatting with us about the courage to homestead and just kind of what it takes and what you've been through. Whisper, do you have any other questions for Karen Panabaker?
Not any questions. I just want to say good luck. I mean, so proud of you just going and doing that. Good luck. We're going to be kind of following in your footsteps here in the next few months with this big move Jen and I have and doing kind of the same thing. And it's going to be a learning process and one step at a time. And I'm sure a little bit every day that may be some frustrating parts. But, again, it's all about learning, and we're really looking forward to it. And so I think I would just like to say, you know, number one, congratulations for having the courage to do it. And good luck to you. And we really hope you're successful with that, because it really really sounds like you just love what you're doing, and that's what life's all about, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow, and it sounds like y'all are having a great time and love what you're doing, and that is so important in this day and age. So good luck to you, and thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, thank you. We've been talking with Karen Panabaker about homesteading. So, okay, Whisper, let's proceed on with the trivia here today.
Trivia time. We're going to take caller number 7 today. Caller number 7 at 347-637-3237. And if you know the answer to today's trivia question, you're going to win a nesting box from Ware Manufacturing. Ware Manufacturing, you can visit them online as well. See all of the goodies that they make, and you can find a lot of their goodies in retail stores across America, Ware Manufacturing. And they're going to be they've provided a nesting box for one lucky winner today. Caller number 7, 347-637-3237 if you know the answer or want to try to know the answer to the following question. Okay, and the following question, we're continuing kind of our brooding theme here, as we talked about last week. And so today's question is, what would be a good indication in your brooder that the chicks
are too cold? Maybe a couple of answers here that I will accept. What is a good a sign or indication that your baby chicks are too cold? That's what we're looking for. 347-637-3237 today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And what is a good sign or a good indication that the baby chicks are too cold? Caller number 7. And then, of course, as always, we always have a lot of fun. We'll let you know if you're caller number 6, and we'll say, oh, just a little bit too soon. Or if you're caller number 8 and you really want to hang on the line, because if somebody gets this wrong, then you might just be the next one. So, yeah, we have fun with that. Man, I don't know what compelled me that Friday. I think it was Friday to have fun with that. But that was a crazy show. And everybody in the chat room, they were enjoying it and playing off of that. So it was really fun. Really. Well, remind everybody that tonight, it's Wednesday tonight, and I believe it's going to be every Wednesday. Chicken Whisperer may have a little competition. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., there's a new show on Blog Talk Radio called Chick Kids. Chick Kids, 5 p.m., Wednesday afternoons, and it's kids talking with kids about chickens, show poultry, backyard poultry, turkeys, guineas, chickens, all kinds of cool things like that. I was thrilled that I was invited to listen to some of the test episodes. And so you're not going to want to miss that show. It's very entertaining, and these kids have a passion for poultry, and they love what they're doing, and very knowledgeable. Let me tell you, very knowledgeable. And that's just like you listen to our show on Blog Talk Radio tonight at 5 p.m., every Wednesday at 5 p.m., Chick Kids. So if you have kids, they're in school during the day, and they're involved in agriculture and backyard homesteading and chickens, this could be a great little show to entertain them instead of sitting them in front of and having them play video games or having them, you know, watching the junk that's on TV when they get home from school this afternoon, 5 o'clock. You can have them listen to other kids that have a passion for poultry. So how cool is that? Wanted to share that with you as well. So, yeah, the switchboard is lighting up. And we think we said caller number 7. So let me go down the switchboard here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then we've got, okay. So I want to let everybody know that caller number 6.
You're brutal.
You're just
brutal.
No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, let's just go
not.
To the phone lines. We're going to have some fun. We'll have some fun here. Okay. Well, somebody hung up. Let's see. Yep, there's somebody else hung up. Having some fun, though. Doesn't change the status. Caller number 7. Here we go. Caller number 7, you're live on the radio with Andy and Pat. Caller calling in from area code 860-860. Tell us your name and where you calling from.
Andy and Pat, this is Walter up here in snowy Connecticut.
Hey, Walter, tell me something, my friend. How are your chickens doing in that awesome My Pet Chicken coop you won not too
sweet.
Long ago? How are they doing in all that snow?
They're doing sweet in it. They don't even come out of it.
I wouldn't either. You had 2 feet of snow. 2 feet of snow, didn't you, just about a week ago?
Yep, and now it's snowing out now. We're supposed to get 8 to 12 inches tonight and some more Saturday.
Wow.
My goodness
gracious. And your chickens are doing fine, and that chicken coop you won. That's awesome.
I just got off the phone with Jesse from Big Bird because I told him I'm thinking about moving down that way.
He's in Florida. Yeah, come on. Yeah, well, just come on through Georgia and then head on down to Florida because the traffic's bad enough here as it is. But we'd welcome you here, but you know the traffic. You might be better off going down to Florida and getting even a little bit because we've had our share of snow this year. Okay, what are a couple of indications that your baby chicks and your brooder are just too doggone cold? What do you think?
They'll huddle together and they'll try to stay together as best as they can.
That's true. They will huddle together, and specifically, they'll huddle up underneath that heat lamp,
right,
the heat source they have. So that's number one. And, of course, we would have said
they'll become so doggone loud you won't be able to do anything in your house because they're going to let you know that they are cold by chirping your ear off. So those are a couple of things there. We've got less than 90 seconds left, folks. Thank you very much for tuning in today. Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I promise you I will let you know what we're going to do tomorrow and if we're going to get poultry or not, and we'll let you know. So stay tuned to that. Pat, thank you very much for joining us. Take it away. About 55 seconds, my friend.
Okay, well, the other thing about chickens being cold, little baby chicks, is they shiver. They will sit there and just shiver like crazy. So anyway, we want to thank Karen Panamaker for being our guest today to talk about her courage in homesteading, which it does sometimes take an awful lot of courage. Andrew, thank you for Andy, thanks to you for bringing us all together. We certainly wouldn't be here talking about poultry power if it weren't for you. And, of course, appreciation to our chat room chickeneers for clucking along and all our listeners. Blessings to all. We love you all. So much, and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.